Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Hallelujah. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is our gospel reading from St. John, the 16th chapter. The study of Christ is called Christology. During your catechesis or your confirmation classes, you would have studied Christology when you studied the second article of the Apostles' Creed. During this time of study, you would have learned that Jesus holds a threefold office: the office of prophet, priest, and king. Now, that's a very important component of Christology, because that threefold office describes the work of Christ during his earthly ministry, and it describes his work today as he continues the ministry of saving souls. Last week, you would have heard how Jesus was going to give the Holy Spirit to his apostles to teach them about Jesus, and then to help them faithfully and steadfastly proclaim Jesus for the salvation of souls. As prophet, Jesus came to reveal his heavenly Father's will through his preached word. And now, as prophet, Jesus continues that proclamation of God through the pastors that he calls and places into the preaching office. And what better day to meditate on Christ's office as priest than today, the sixth Sunday of Easter, Rogate Sunday. Rogate is simply Latin for ask or pray. All of our readings today from God's Word speak of the good gift of asking God in prayer. And this Thursday is Ascension. Ascension is a good day to meditate on Christ's office as King. For we confess in our creeds that Christ has risen from the dead and has ascended into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of God the Father. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And as King, he reigns and rules over all things, but he especially reigns over his church in grace. Now, in the Old Testament, there were three kinds of people who were anointed into their offices. And you should know, they are prophet, priest, and kings. Prophets were anointed for the task of preaching the word of God. Priests were anointed for the task of offering prayers and intercessions on behalf of the people, as well as offering sacrifices for their sins. And kings were anointed to be God's earthly shepherds, to care for the physical needs of God's people, and to make certain that their spiritual care was taken care of by the priest and the prophets. The holders of these offices represented God in one way or another. The prophet declared God's word and will to the people. The priest revealed God's grace and mercy through his prayers and intercessions. And the king oversaw justice in the kingdom by punishing evil and rewarding the good. Now, the priests were called to stand between God and his people. That's what an intercessor does. They were commanded to carry the prayers of the people to God and to bless the people for God. They were called to offer the people sacrifices to God for their sins and to declare to the people God's forgiveness of their sins. Yet because people are sinners and do not follow the will of God, there were unfaithful prophets, unfaithful priests, and unfaithful kings. False prophets were called false because they did not represent God. They did not speak the word of God. They spoke the word of men. They had no fear of God. Instead, they had fear of human beings. So they told people what they wanted to hear and not what God commanded them to hear. There were also unfaithful priests. The sons of Aaron were unfaithful priests who sinned in the presence of God and desecrated the temple, the tabernacle, And thus God instituted the Day of Atonement to cleanse his holy presence of the sins of the priests. And then the sons of Eli were even worse. They used their offices to take advantage of the people, to abuse God's people. And God responded by taking their lives from them by his own hand. But probably the most familiar to all of you is the notoriously unfaithful kings of Israel. The northern kingdom did not have a single faithful king. And the southern kingdom had just a few. And after hundreds of years, God's patience ran out with these faithless kings. His patience ran out with a stubborn and unfaithful people, and he took them from the promised land. Indeed, God was angry. Angry with these people that he had called and placed in their offices to represent him. God rejected those unfaithful prophets, those false teachers, because they, in essence, lied about God. False doctrine is just that. It's lying about God. It is of the devil. God mocked the unfaithful priests who were too lazy to pray for the people, too lazy to forgive their sins. And since the kings failed to shepherd his people, God promised he would shepherd them himself. And so he did in Jesus. Jesus literally embodies the office of prophet, priest, and king. What human flesh failed to do for God, God assumed human flesh and did it himself in Jesus. As the prophet promised by Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, Jesus came to preach God's word in its fullness, its truth, and its purity. And to preach that word even to ears that would reject the word of God. As king, Jesus shepherded God's people faithfully and righteously. Jesus could not be bribed. He was not easily swayed as human kings are. He did not show favoritism. He did not give credence to those with wealth or power, as we are so prone to do. And as the good shepherd, Jesus was willing to do what kings are not willing to do, lay down his own life for his people. And as a priest, Jesus earnestly prayed for the people. Jesus was a man of prayer, often going off by himself to spend time with his heavenly Father in prayer. And the fervency and the devoutness of his prayer is exemplified in the Garden of Gethsemane, where in that time of prayer, wrestling with God's will, his prayer was so agonized that blood poured from his pores like sweat. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed for himself, he prayed for his disciples, and he prayed for you. And one of the gifts that Jesus gives you is the gift of prayer. Prayer is God's invitation, as well as God's command, that you come to him, that you talk to him about anything, that you ask him for anything. That you lay bare your soul before him, just as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Prayer is God's gift to you, a gift that is given in today's text. Jesus said, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." As the great high priest, Jesus is your intercessor. Unlike earthly priests, earthly pastors, who are limited in their knowledge, who are often tired and weary, who are often forgetful, Jesus is none of those things. He is perfect, he is strong, and he knows everything about you. He knows your every need. He knows your every pain and frustration, your every joy and sorrow, your every hope and dream. And he bids you to come to him in prayer. And as your intercessor, he carries your prayers to his heavenly Father on your behalf. And that's why your prayers are heard by God the Father, for they are spoken to him through Jesus. That's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. It means to pray through Jesus and in the faith that the Holy Spirit gives you. To trust that Jesus is your intercessor. That he indeed carries your every word to God in prayer. You hear people talk a lot today about the power of prayer. The power of prayer. But you know, I'm going to say something that might surprise you. The power isn't in what you do, but in what Jesus does for you and through you. As Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. If there was power in the act of prayer itself, then the Buddhists would have us all beat by a long shot. Do you know how Buddhists pray? They write their prayers on a little sheet of paper. They stuff it into a thing they call a prayer wheel, and then they spin that thing around hundreds of times a day, figuring that the millions of times that those prayers are sent to their gods will eventually get their God's attention. Well, you should know that if there was power in the act of prayer itself, then God would hear all prayers, even the prayers of unbelievers. But God doesn't hear the prayers of unbelievers for two reasons. First of all, their prayers are not directed to the one true and living God, but to the idols of their choosing. St. Paul calls the mindset of unbelievers this: for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. No, God does not hear the prayers of unbelievers. And secondly, even the apparent righteous works of unbelievers still look like filthy, dirty rags to God the Father, as Isaiah proclaims, and as Jesus mentioned in John chapter 15 when he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So the power isn't in prayer per se, but in Christ, our intercessor, who prays on our behalf. Hence, whoever prays in Jesus' name prays in Jesus, and his prayers are heard by God the Father, because God the Father hears and answers the prayers of his Son. That's why James can say in his epistle that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. The prayer of one believer praying in Jesus' name is heard and answered by God the Father. And this is why Jesus condemns the wordy prayers of unbelievers. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Unbelievers, you see, they believe that the power is in what they do, that they can influence their gods by what they say and do. So they pray many words, thinking that their gods will finally pay attention. But Jesus said, do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. God always hears and answers your prayers, because he always hears and answers Jesus. God wants prayer to be a blessing. He has given it to you for a blessing. But when Christians doubt that God hears their prayers, or they doesn't care because he doesn't answer according to what they want, then that is a sign of unbelief at work, and a sign that prayer has become a burden. But remember the words of Jesus. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Jesus assures you that God the Father hears your prayers, prayed through his great high priest, and the Holy Spirit teaches you that God answers according to his will and in his good time. so that your joy may be full. You see, the Holy Spirit has given you the gift of faith. And what is faith but trust in the words and promises of God? And God has promised to hear and answer your prayers for the sake of Christ. But he may not always answer them the way you want, because God knows what you need. So take, for example, a prayer for healing. You may pray for the healing of a loved one, and yet your loved one may die. And you may wonder, did God really hear my prayer? But what is the greatest healing that any of us can receive? But the healing of eternal life. And there is no greater joy than that. Furthermore, it was God's will that Christ suffer and die. Even though Christ prayed fervently in the Garden of Gethsemane that God take the cup of wrath from him. Yet that wasn't God's will. For the joy of your salvation, Jesus endured the cross, and he suffered and died for you. God answers your prayers in Christ, above all so that you know the joy of salvation. So remember that when you pray for health and wealth, when you pray for earthly blessings, God may not give them. For he knows that in this world of sin, our earthly treasures may come between us and God and hurt our faith. So we put our trust in a loving Father who didn't keep his Son from us, but gave him for us all. That kind of love, no doubt, has your best interest at heart. That is the kind of love the Father has for you. He hears and he does answer your prayers. But Jesus did more than any Old Testament priest. While Old Testament priests offered sacrifices for the sins of the people, they offered the blood of bulls and goats and lambs. They didn't offer their own blood for the people. But Jesus came to offer himself as a fragrant offering to his heavenly Father. He came to shed the blood that would take away the sin of the world. This sacrifice is something we need every day. This forgiveness of sins. As Luther said, we daily sin much and daily need much forgiveness. So Jesus is the answer to our most important prayer. And what is that prayer? Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Think about that for a moment. Is there a more important prayer, a more fervent prayer than that? On your deathbeds, what are you going to pray for? God's mercy? I'm sure you are. And the answer to that prayer will be, yes, I will have mercy on you, because the blood of my Son has washed away your sins. And to that, is there any more that can be said than amen? In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.